exactly how everything ends. And it ends with us being on top. It ends with us recognizing and knowing total victory. It ends with all knees bowing and every tongue confessing that Jesus is Lord forever. We give you praise, Father, for all that you have done and all that you continue to do. We are greatly encouraged because you are establishing us, you're strengthening us in our inner man. You are enlarging our capacity to address the issues that face our world. Lord, this world belongs to you. It does not belong to the devil. And we are not about, oh God, to go to sleep and let the enemy sow his discord and confusion. We are watching and we are praying that not by our ability, but by your grace, your enabling presence, your anointing, that's destroying yokes and removing burdens. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that we have the eyes of the Father. We see. We have the ears of the Father. We hear. We have the mind of the Lord. Oh, we understand. We perceive. We give you praise for all things. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So good to see those of you that are here tonight and those of you that are listening online. We celebrate every one of God's sons and daughters today as we rejoice in the goodness of God. You know, it is very easy for us to lose sight. Something happened. Okay, we're back on. It's very easy for us to lose sight of what God is doing in the midst of the chaos that's happening in our world. And we can be so focused on all the bad things that are happening, focus on all the predictions, the prophetic statements of man. You know, when they're predicting, they are prophesying. But their prophetic words will not come to pass because God is greater than all of that. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what is God saying? Where are we in the economy of things when it relates to what God is doing right now? Where are we? Where are we? In John, the 16th chapter, the Lord starts talking about some very difficult, hard things for the disciples to decipher. And they were mesmerized by all that he was talking about. And because he was talking about the fact that they were going to be persecuted, he says in verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." I am telling you ahead of time about these things so that you are not offended, because it's so easy when things are going south for us to get so wound up and offended and start to doubt what we believe about God. But he says, I'm telling you ahead of time that certain things are going to happen. There's going to come a time that they are going to put you out of these synagogues. Yet the time is going to come that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And, in a sense, we've been put out of the synagogue. We've been set aside and said, get out. You cannot go to church or whatever. He says the time is going to come when that kind of thing is going to happen. Now, he was talking about the persecution that was coming to the body at that particular time. Well, we have gone full circle and we've come to the fulfillment of certain things that the Lord was talking about. Certain things that the disciples did not even experience. Did you know that the Lord said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now? And on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were never truly baptized in the Holy Ghost. You say, why not? Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost is set for us. You didn't hear what I said yet. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. We are the ones who are going to live it out. And it doesn't look like we qualify for it. When you look at the church today, you look at a whole bunch of wimpish people. But that's exactly how the beginning of the church was. They were very wimpish. They were denying Christ and everything. And they were with him. They were with him. They saw him. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen me, but believe." We are that generation that did not see him physically, but will believe. Because we are going to see him in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So anyway, he talks about all the persecution that was going to happen. He talks about the fact that he was going to leave and then he was going to come back. It says in verse, let me take it in from verse 5. He says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me." I'm going back to the one who sent me. "And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, it is necessary, it is helpful for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me." They're going to be reproved of sin because they do not believe on me. And he says, let me stop for a moment, even though I don't want to spend my time in focus. This is a whole message on itself. When the Holy Spirit comes and begins to move, people are going to see and behold their sin. And the reason is so that they can repent. Amen? Then it says, "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Now, it says in verse 10, "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more." Now, why is it of righteousness? Because the Word of God tells us, as we read today in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, it says that righteousness is defined as the breastplate of faith and love. And I said to us, if righteousness is about faith and love, and faith worketh by love, then righteousness becomes an active response, something that we are doing. Now, when he talks about of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, he's saying that the world is going to be convicted of righteousness because while they do not see him, they are going to see the manifestation of his power through our lives, and they are going to start thinking, "This is not ordinary. There must be a God." Because you and I are going to be moving in another dimension. You don't get it yet, but you're going to get it very soon. The next statement is this: "Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." In other words, the enemy of our soul is going to receive judgment. Hallelujah. The enemy of our soul is going to receive judgment. We, as the people, the end of the age saints, are going to be a vehicle through which God is going to nail the enemy down. I tell you something, the devil is going to be begging for Christians to get out of here. This thing is not, Jesus is not coming for a weak church. He's coming for a supernatural church. A people that have no spot or blemish or wrinkle. They are committed to God. They are standing for something. And the devil is very scared of that. Hallelujah. He says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, He's going to talk of about himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. There are things to come. The Lord spoke to me this evening. He said, son, one of the most important messages you're going to preach, you're going to preach tonight. I said, what are you talking about? He said, the message I'm going to bring to you, through you to the people today, is a very important message. So I want you to log in, get locked in, because this message is not just for you, it's also for me, because God is saying something that is about to happen. Amen? He says, he shall glorify me. He shall glorify me. The Lord told us this year, starting at Rosh Hashanah of 2019, he said, this is the year of the manifestation of his glory. Amen? Hallelujah. The first phase of the manifestation of the glory of God is plagues. It's pestilence. It is trouble, because God has to deal with what needs to be dealt with to remove it out of the way so that there is a manifestation. The Bible says when the glory of God was manifested, that the people began to drop. 14,000 people in a few seconds were gone. And God spoke through Moses. Moses said to Aaron, Aaron, run into the crowd and stop it. Take the censer. So he ran into the midst of the people and separated the dead from the living. It was the first beginnings of the manifestation of the glory of God. But there's another dimension of the glory of God. This dimension is in the display of his power in a very real and powerful way. The Lord said something to us. He says, I'm going to go to the Father. And when I go to the Father, you are going to do greater works than I've done, because I go to be with the Father. We have come into that season in God that God wants to manifest his power in a very raw way. Hallelujah. When you look at the Old Testament and you see the display of the power of God, and you look at the New Testament, you don't see the same dynamic power. Don't fool yourself. In the New Testament, we didn't see rivers being split. We didn't see water coming out of rocks. We didn't see food coming down in all kinds of ways. But that day is here. Hallelujah. That day is here. Please hear, by the Spirit of the living God, God wants to do something extraordinary in our day and in our time. And we need to position ourselves to be faithful men and women who are not filled with pride and arrogance, but humble before him so that he can use us. Because the way God wants to use us, let me say something to us right here. If you are proud and arrogant, he cannot use you. Because the danger is this. Those that God invests himself in can become arrogant. Lucifer did that. Lucifer was the most beautiful of the archangels. He was unique. There's no other angel like him. Not Michael, not Gabriel, not Raphael. Nobody is like Lucifer. Lucifer was unique, and in his uniqueness, he became prideful. Now, where God wants to take you and I in these last days is going to be so extraordinary that you must understand this principle, that it is the doing of God and not the workings of a man. He shall glorify me. So the Bible tells us, first then, the Holy Spirit is not going to be prideful. The Holy Spirit is not going to be arrogant. The Holy Spirit is going to show to you what is mine. Everything belongs to me. And the Spirit that's going to move in you in these last days is going to be a spirit that is just revealing more of the Father. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. We don't understand. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire amongst yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep. You're going to weep, and you're going to lament, but the world shall rejoice. He says, there's going to be that time when you're going to be the one weeping, you're going to be the one lamenting, and the world is going to be rejoicing. He says, then he says, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into what? Joy. There's going to be a flipping. You're going to start like you are the weak one, you are the one who's losing. He says, but then it's going to flip, and you're going to be the one who's filled with joy. And if you're flipping, this is flipping, and you are the one in joy, then the world is going to be the one in sorrow. Hallelujah. It says a woman, when she is in travail, had sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembered no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. In essence, God is saying, you are about to begin to forget the difficult days, for the days of rejoicing are here before you. God is going to do a new thing, and it's going to be a shocker. Somebody shout hallelujah. It says, ye now therefore have sorrow. Now you have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. In one sense, he was talking about the time that he was going to die, he was going to go to the cross, and the fact that he was going to come back alive and reveal himself to them. That's what he was talking about. But there is this latter day expression that we are going to go through a time of persecution, a time of being chastised and moved this way and that way. But there is going to be that turnaround where the church becomes the powerhouse of God, that will begin to declare, thy kingdom has come, thy will is now being done in the earth as it is in heaven. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, and in that day, somebody say, and in that day. Oh, say it again, and in that day. One more time, and in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Woo! He says, in that day, when you've come to this place of fulfillment in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to have to ask me anything, because I am authorizing you to speak on my behalf. You are going to be my voice in the world. Somebody shout hallelujah. In that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. I tell you, this day, God is saying, I'm bringing you to that place. We're in that place of access. That place of access where you go to the Father and you say, Father, I need this. I need that. I need some thundering over there. I need some lightning over there. I need some prosperity over there. I need some miracles over here. He says, you're going to talk to the Father. Just like I talk to the Father, I'm bringing you. You are going to be joint heirs with me. We've come to the days of being joint heirs. Oh, you're not hearing yet. The Lord is bringing us to that place where we begin to be his representation, because he's become full grown inside of us. It doesn't look like it in the natural, but this is the doing of the Lord, and it will be marvelous in our eyes and the eyes of all. Just like the devil is sorry that he took Jesus to the cross. And he keeps on repenting for making that mistake. He's making another mistake. He's bringing chastisement on the body of Christ. But this body of Christ is rising up by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. For it's a new day. It's a new day. God is raising up his apostolic and prophetic voice, and disaster is coming to the kingdom of darkness. It is time for the church to begin to rejoice. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says that day, you're not going to have to ask me anything. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Oh, shikalabosa. It says that. Listen. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. It didn't say he will give it to you. He says he will give it you. So whatever the solution is, God will bring you there and you will be the solution. We are men and women being raised by the power of God in these last days to be the solution. When the world is filled with disaster, we will be the solution. We will be the answer. I thank God this day by the anointing that God is raising up men and women in the body of Christ that are going to be the smartest, wisest people, just like Daniel was in the kingdom of Babylon. So shall God raise up men who are going to tell people their dreams and tell them the interpretation, because the world doesn't have the answer. They are going to be saying, it has never been done. How come you come here and you're telling me that you have a dream and we want to interpret it, and you're telling me you've forgotten it, and you want me to tell you the dream that you dreamt? This is not possible. Oh, but there was a man called Daniel, says, give me some time. Give me some time. I got a God who sees things in secret. Oh, that day is here, child of God. That day is here. I say again, that day is here. That day is here. God is raising up men and women who are refusing to attach themselves to the defilement of this world and say no to the strategies of the evil one. And say, just give us the simple stuff. And they are eating the simple stuff, but they're looking good. Ah. God will give the problem you. Hallelujah. 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 God is raising up himself in his body. That is what God wants to do. It says, hitherto, verse 24, have ye asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Glory be to God. You're going to ask, you're going to receive, and your joy will be made full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, he says. I've spoken these things to you in Proverbs, but the time cometh. The time cometh, the time cometh, when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. No more Proverbs. God is revealing himself. He says, at that day, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. He said, there's a day that I'm not going to pray the Father for you. You want to ask something in my name? And I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm not going to pray for you. Jesus says there comes that day that I am going to give you personal connection. A personal connection that God will speak to you, reveal himself to you. He said, I'm going to show him plainly. How? Through the Holy Spirit. It says, for the Father himself, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, because you have loved me. This is the foundational truth. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God, because you have loved me, you have. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will stay true to me all the way. He says, because of that, because you believe that I came from God, I came from the Father, and I'm come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly. Excuse me. What exactly was now plain? What is now exactly now plain? And speaketh no proverb. Child of God, this is where you and I come in. In receiving the truth of God, surrendering ourselves to his lordship, and understanding that God is saying, the Lord is saying, I want you to have a personal relationship with the Father. The Father loves you just like he loves me. Now you can see how dangerous that can be for a person who's operating in the spirit of pride. I don't need Jesus. I can just go to the Father. Just say anything. God must be adored. You learn that. You go through that training so that you have the privilege of access. Not only the access of Lord Jesus, but Father God. Because his whole mission was to get us to connect with the Father. Child of God, God wants to bring that connection about. Now are we sure, they said, that thou knowest all things, and needs not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And you wonder, how is it that they came to this conclusion? What exactly did he say? They heard the Spirit of God. They received a revelation of the fact that God was calling them to the fullness that he has already established in his heart. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, he says. You're going to be scattered all over the place. Every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's going to be a time that you're going to be scattered, and it's going to be like I'm alone, but still I'm not going to be alone. All over the world, right now, all over the world, it looks like the church has been scattered all over the place. People in their homes. It doesn't matter whether you have a 50,000 seat church or a 100,000 seater church or 10,000 or 50. The church is empty. people are scattered all over the place. But the Lord says, I tell you what, I want you to know, yeah, in the world you have tribulation. He says, but be of good cheer. Begin to rejoice. I have overcome the world. If I have overcome the world, I have overcome the God of this world. And I am restoring you back. I'm restoring you back to how it all started. How did it start? The Father was in the garden every day having discussions with Adam. Every day, chatting. He says, son, come. What do you call that? Oh, that's an elephant. And Father says, okay, that's the name, elephant. What's this one? That's a turtle. God says, that's the name. What's that one? That's a whale. Ah, that's the name. Whatever Adam called it, that was what the name was. That's the day that God is bringing us back to. The day that we say something, and that's what it is. We've not lost it. Because now our babies, you know, I went through it with my children. Now I'm going through it with my grandchildren. And someday I'm going to go through it with my great-grandchildren and then my great-great. They are beginning to call names. Oh, this one. What's the name of this toy dog? Oh, this is Yak Yak. That's the name. That's the name. From that day, that dog is Yak Yak. God is bringing you to that place because this whole thing is going full circle. He's bringing us to the beginning. But this time, we are not going to believe the lie of the enemy. We are not going to be deceived to think that we are not what God says we are. We will receive our position and be in total service to the living God. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. I say, if you believe that, shout hallelujah. I say, if you believe it, shout hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. This is the word that the Lord has given to me to share with us today, to bring us into an awareness of our timing in Him. Now, this is going to be His doing, because in our natural ability, we cannot come to this place. God will take us there. Amen? Jesus has already spoken it. He spoke it at the beginning into the life of His disciples. But just like Abraham and Isaac and the rest of them went through what they went, but did not receive the fullness of what they were believing for or expecting, and that was set up aside for us. So now we are stepping into the greater dimension of baptism. They got filled on the day of Pentecost, but we are about to experience baptism. Oh, receive that in your spirit. I receive it, Father. I thank you, Lord, O God, that you have greater things in your mind for us. And Lord, O God, even now as you move us, oh, supernatural, to this dimension, let there be a manifestation of your glory like never before. Lord, O God, use us, O God, to move things, move mountains, move situations, change situations. Lord, O God, that while the world cries, they will know, is there not a prophet in this place? They will seek your body for the solutions that they need. Because the solution they need is not in some lab. It is in the mouth of men and women of God that can speak and declare change, change, healings, miracles. There will not be a competition. Yes, the world has competed, but Lord, oh God, you're bringing us to that place where the world will begin to say, this is the finger of God. So let it be unto us according to thy word. And all of God's people said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.